1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Good morning. It's ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander on a Sunday morning. We didn't turn down any money to be here. We're just glad to be here, Brian.
You know, Mark, I believe your Chicago White Sox could use some left-handed power. Where would you get someone who's 23 years old and has left-handed power?
We have no chance at that, Brian. Stop it. We have no chance.
Well, that's
Yankees are getting him.
That's just negative on negative.
Yes, right, it is. Hey, yes, it is. Well, I'm going to start. The sun is not out. It's rainy today. I'm actually not too upset about the loss yesterday.
Well, because they competed.
Get into that. But honestly,
Well, guess what? Lance Lynn is in my package. I'm calling.
Lance Lynn is another story, and we'll get to that too.
If I'm Rick Hahn when I'm talking to Mike Rizzo, and I hope we already talked to him. Lance Lynn can be thrown in that package, too. I don't know that currently Mike would be interested in Lance Lynn, but in the bigger picture, he would.
Right, right. Look, we can throw all kinds of players into that bucket, but we have no shot. I mean, I would love it. We have no shot. What in what world, what era are we living in when a baseball player, just generally, turns down $440 million because they think that they will get more?
Oh, he's going to get more.
I know, but
he's going to get more.
Is this not going to? This is going to screw up every. I mean, every time a player does this, and we know who his agent is, right?
Scott Boras.
Yes. Every time this happens, Brian, it raises the bar, and everybody else gets paid more, and that's all fine and good. And I'm not against anybody getting paid, but in the end, people like you and me, and people listening. We're paying at the park for this.
Because people not like you and me are going to Wrigley Field and paying top dollar to watch that crap. So
that's what I'm saying. It's going to trickle down. And
although they were competitive yesterday, they played hard too. So tip of the old baseball cap, they're now 3-11 in extra inning games. So they battle. But as Buck Showalter,
I thought you were going to be hopping mad today.
No, because it doesn't matter.
But right, okay.
As Buck Showalter,
you have unplugged.
As Buck Showalter said after the second game, these are games that good teams win, and as I said yesterday, these are games that young/bad teams lose. Mm. So we're not there yet.
So you are of acceptance. Kind of a Zen, Brian Hanley. Accepted.
Max Scherzer is on a heater since he came back from the oblique.
He's unbelievable. My God, he is unbelievable.
I mean, I'll have what he and Cueto are having at tender age of 37. But, yeah, I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't combine in those two games for 16 strikeouts. And I'll give you Scherzer. Not that Taijuan Walker was not that bad either in the first game. But the point is, the Mets are going to certainly be calling the Nationals about Juan Soto.
Everybody's going to call.
You have to.
Yep.
You absolutely have to.
Yep.
Because you said the White Sox have no shot. Well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, no one thought anybody had any shot because it was going to be absolutely absurd that the Nationals they would allow a superstar at 23 who's still got another year of arbitration control. To go. I mean,
right.
and look, the $440 million, that's an eye-popping number. But the annual average value of that contract is what stopped Scott Boras and stopped the talks. It's $29 million.
Right. You know, the total number is really, really just unheard of. But yes, it was a ridiculously long contract, 15 years?
So it takes them to 38 and all those possible other contracts. And there's at least 15 players, including Max Scherzer at the tender age of 37, who are making much more on an annual average basis than the $29 million, which sounds great.
Right.
But remember, Scott Boras thought Chris Bryant was worth $30 to $35 million.
Right, right. Well, yeah, the yearly number, obviously, that does make a lot of sense. And I thought it was 15 years was just unbelievable. But and he will get paid more per year. Will he get offered another 15-year at his age, maybe?
I don't think he wants 50. I guarantee you he'll get around 10. He'll get more money. when it's all said and done. Now, the question is, whichever team makes this trade by August 2nd, are they immediately going to, put all the chips on the table and sign them?
They're going to have to.
Well,
or else they're mortgaging everything for a rent-a-player, although you get a little more than 2 years out of them.
Well, no, you get a year. You get from now until the next trade deadline to figure out where you're going and where he's going. And now, if he gets hurt, God forbid.
Well, no. I'm saying he is under contract for a little over 2 years, right?
Well, yeah. No, he's a free agent in 2024. So
okay.
You wouldn't let him walk after next season if you couldn't come to terms. You know what the price of poker is right now, right?
Sure.
So if you're making the deal, you're signing him.
Well, you have to, and that right there, Brian, that right there precludes the White Sox. We can give away a bunch of people. How is Jerry Reinsdorf going to pony up the kind of money to get a Juan Soto and lock him down for years?
Does he want to win? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Can you answer that for me?
Okay. Unfortunately, the Cubs and White Sox have the money. Now, the problem with the Cubs...
Will they let it go?
The Cubs don't have the prospects and the players.
Right.
If you combine the Cubs bank account, and I think the White Sox could afford him, whether they want to afford him is a different
argument. See, that's the thing. I'm not saying he can't. Would he spend that money?
I mean, history says no. Right.
That's exactly my point.
The last one that they really had serious footsie was with Machado, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Machado just said, I'll be out west. Thank you very much. I like the weather. But the point is, the Cubs don't have a farm system or a major league roster that would interest Mike Rizzo in the Nationals at all. They don't have the assets. They have the money. They're not spending it. They have the money. Now, the fact that it's worth $4 billion, so we have to go over that again. The White Sox want to win something, and Jerry's not getting any younger, and I think he'd like to win another World Series while he's still here. It's want to. And it's getting created. And you certainly have a farm system and young players on this roster.
No doubt. And we can sit and make a list of who we'd be okay with letting go.
There'd be some real names on there that you wouldn't want to see go. But I'm sorry, it's Juan Soto.
Well, you have to pay
Andrew Vaughn.
You have to pay. That's right. Yep.
See, you pick a young pitcher. Maybe.
But
the thing is though,
Brian, if you don't have 100% chance to sign him long term, do that.
I'm just saying you can make the trade and you don't have to sign him like the same day. Is what I'm saying. You can have the conversation with Scott Boras before you make the trade. But theoretically, you do. He's under arbitration control. He's making $17 million this year in his second-year arbitration. He's not a free agent until after next season.
Right.
So theoretically, would you tick off Scott Boras to the point where he'd tell, Scott says we're doing this in 48 hours or we're not doing it? I don't know that, you put your best offer out there and see what Scott says, and he sniffs his nose at it, and he's been known to take his guys to free agency no matter the number, right? Because more than one team,
and that would be a concern for me as a White Sox fan. We actually have somebody here that I agree with, Dan in Barrington. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dan?
Yes, Xander, we finally have found something that you and I agree on. Yep. Normally, I agree with Brian, but Brian, the chairman almost had a stroke given our catcher who's on the disabled list, $82 million.
Yes.
You think he's going to add $400?
That was a grabber, Brian, right there. Yes.
Brian, $500
million. Try $500
million. Hey, Brian, I love you.
Yeah,
the Cubs have the sixth-rated farm system in baseball.
Well,
the Sox have 30th. They have Colson Montgomery. So what you would have to start out with, and Xander's exactly right, this starts with Luis
Vaughn,
Robert, and Cease, and Andrew Vaughn. Those three.
They for sure.
Herschel Walker. So you want to trade all three of them for 2 years for them to come back?
No, by the way.
If
you're trading.
One last thing. One last thing. They were as close to getting Machado as my 16 in softball team was. They missed by $75 million, Brian.
They always said
to do this. We were right there. They were not near anything.
Right.
So, Xander, I don't know. I think we need to play the We need to play the lotto tomorrow because
yeah, maybe, pal. Yeah, maybe.
You guys, Dan.
You too, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
for you know what? Look, I heard the Machado stuff. I never really felt it was that close. We don't really know. We're just going on reports. But yes, the price would be awfully high for the South Side to get Juan Soto, and then we would have to, and I wouldn't even want to consider it unless we had a solid, solid 95% chance of signing him long term, because I don't want to get rid of that stuff, those assets for a year.
You would have to sign him long term. I'm just saying, but unless Scott Boras is saying we're getting this done before he puts a uniform on, you know, I mean, he has to play.
I don't trust Boras, do you?
No, but I mean, it's a trade. He has to come and play. If he doesn't play, then he's sitting out. Well, he's going to sit out for the next year and a half and not. He's got to play.
Right.
So,
right.
But you know what? You know now that $440 million and $29 million a year. $29 million a year is a joke. I'll go through the list of guys who are making more money than that right now. I mean, that's a contract from 4 years ago. Right.
No. I agree. In the 15 years, in the big number was like eye popping. And I think that grabbed my attention first. But when you break it down, you're right. But it's also the Nationals. And have they really shown him that they want to win? I mean, there are teams like the Yankees that could afford him like no problem. And watch what they do. They'll let Judge walk and they'll sign Soto.
Do you know what? You know, that's probably not a bad scenario you just painted. But here's the thing. You know, John Heyman tweeted out that part of the problem was not only the annual average value of the contract, $29 million, but there was a lot of deferred money. And that but Ken Rosenthal said there was no deferred money. And so, you know, Ken Rosenthal was the first to report it. So that the Nationals were going to be sold, that John Heyman said, you know, does the uncertainty of who's going to own the team play into whether Scott Boras wants to accept an offer or not. Because, you know, if you agree to a contract with the Nationals, which apparently you're not going to do, and then within 2 years they're sold and the new ownership's here and you don't know what their aspirations are and whether they want to win or not.
Yeah, that's a big question.
But the deferred money, you can't tell a kid 23 years old, oh, yo, here's $29 million, we're going to underpay you on average. And by the way, you're going to get most of it, you know, on the Bobby Bonilla deal, where you know you get it when you're 65, you're getting checks. But Ken Rosenthal said no deferred money, and I can't believe there would be deferred money. So anyway, it's certainly a conversation that Rick Hahn and Jed Hoyer hopefully have already had with Mike Rizzo. I mean, you can't be sitting there thinking I'll see him at the All-Star game, right? You better have picked up the phone as soon as this broke yesterday.
Or even before it broke and maybe everybody else knew and there were phone conversations already. It'll be interesting, though. Jesse Rogers was on White Sox Weekly yesterday, right when the story broke, and he said he did not feel that – he said he could be surprised, obviously, but he did not feel that Juan Soto would get dealt prior to the trade deadline. This might be more of a baseball winter meeting thing.
Well, here's the problem that if you're the Nationals, he could get hurt. I mean, I could almost argue that if you're going to trade him, and you know now that you're eons apart from where what he and Scott Boras
want. Right, you have no chance. I get it. Get rid of him now and maximize the return as soon as possible.
No, I might argue that he's not playing until I make a deal. I mean,
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want him going all, you know, Aloy Jimenez on you or something like that. Or even worse.
There's only one Aloy, I think.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, what if he blew out an ACL or whatever? I mean, it's
possible. You're right. That's not a bad thought. I'm wondering.
Started sliding in the dugout.
We've got to look at, see if we've got the Nationals lineup today. See if he's in. I don't know if that. We do have the White Sox lineup. We'll go over that, but. Interesting. It was a big story that broke yesterday right after we got off the air or right toward the end of our show, Brian. And ever since then, I've been dreaming. I don't think we have a shot, but I've been dreaming.
Hey, 2 weeks ago, it didn't seem like it was even something worth dreaming about, because in like the Nationals would have to have their heads examined, because you've got, I mean, you talk about a core piece. That's what it looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about the foundation piece and build around it. That's what it looks like. And we'll go over all the things he's accomplished in 5 years already. And he had a slow start to the season.
23 years old. 23 years old.
He went at 20 years old? World Series?
Yep. I mean, we can go over all. He's been top five, top ten in pretty much every category for at least three of the five seasons, and sometimes name a category might be all five. So, I mean, that's what it looks like, and that's what it costs. And so now every GM in baseball, and we'll go through the teams because it's amazing. You know, some people had this list ready to go. They broke down the entire 29 possible suitors, all 29 teams, not named Washington Nationals. And we'll go through about, you know, how they rank probability or possibility and where the Cubs and Sox fit on that list.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. Josh Schrock is coming up at 10:35, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago. So we'll get Josh on, talk a little football. Obviously, we're talking baseball. That's a big story, the Juan Soto thing. We've got high-low we're going to do today. We've got a lot to do till 12:30, and then we get pregame with Tyler Aki starting at 12:30. The Sox and Twins, we'll talk about Lance Lynn. You know what? This is his preseason, unfortunately.
It's
pretty rough, and I'll share something. When we get back from the break, I'll share a comparison. It's a bit shocking. And we know what happened with the other person. We'll do that get back. Yeah. You might know what I'm talking about here. That is on the way. All of that right here on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Zander. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Broadcasting live from the old National Bank Studio on State Street, it is ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander talking baseball. We'll talk to Josh Schrock. But the Bears, he's a Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago. We'll do that at 10:35. Here's what I wanted to share with you, Brian. Before the break, I teased this. Lance Lynn did not look great yesterday. We know that, right? His ERA is over 10. Yes, he hasn't. And we're hoping there's that whole thing. Hoping we're turning the corner with Lance. There's a lot of potential corner turning, and it hasn't happened with Lance. Of course, he started out the season on the IL, and he has been trying to work his way back to form. His numbers right now, and I cannot find the tweet for the life of me. I saw this yesterday. I should have screenshotted it. His numbers right now are comparative to Dallas Keuchel when we DFA'd him.
Mm-hmm. So 1-3 with a 7.50 ERA. The MLB.com had him on the list of seven players last week with Mancata, that players would have to have much better second half season.
Right, and we asked Len about that yesterday.
Right, yeah. And they explained it away. It was just simply they weren't concerned about Lance Lynn. They were concerned about Mancata on this list, but they said it was a matter of him getting his sea legs. That doesn't look like sea legs anymore. I'll give you one or two. When you get to three, it's a trend, my friend.
I'm concerned. I'm with you. When we started the show, I told you that I wasn't so concerned about the Sox overall yesterday and the loss because I felt they were competitive to the end. Lance is definitely a concern. But did you notice Mancata had three hits?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Here's your stat, Xander. Dallas Keuchel in eight starts before being DFA'd at a 7.88 ERA. And then you just said the ERA for Lance Lynn and 3.1 innings pitched.
And look, Lance, like Dallas Keuchel, Dallas talked about when we would hear him say after games he was trying to, paint the Nat's ass,
right,
trying to be too perfect and get the corner of the plate, and it wasn't working for him. Lance Lynn after the game yesterday, he's self aware. He knows he's got to be better, and guess what? Len Casper told us yesterday he knows he has to be better, and I think he will be. Well, the home runs hurt him yesterday, but Lance knows that he's got to be better. Let's take a listen.
It's frustrating. You look at the third inning there when you give up five, but you look at your day today. You give up six runs on three balls, so you can't. You got to keep them in the ballpark. You got to make better pitches.
Aside from those pitches, were you okay with
the way you're doing? You look at there's some hits that are frustrating, infield hits or cap jobs and stuff like that, and that's part of the gig, especially when you're going bad. It seems like everything's a hit, and then I compounded that with the home run ball. So that's what you can't do. You can't worry about giving up you know, gaps and jam jobs and stuff like that. You got to keep pitching. And today I put us in a hole early, and we weren't able to come back.
Sorry, and then, Tony mentioned the last two innings. Is that something you kind of take on the break?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is taking on in the break. Is the break, and you know, it's been pushing pretty hard ever since surgery to try to get back, try to be on the field and try to be productive. Got back, and you know, we were pushing hard there, and now it's, you know, maybe take a deep breath and then get ready for the second half and try to do as best you can and you know, be the pitcher you have been before. You know, it's trying to play catch up when you're recovering and stuff like that is a you know, it's not fun, but you know, I've got the stuff to be able to do it. I just got to go out and make pitches and you know, get outs really.
Well, he knows all the right things to say, and you know, sure, that he's pretty tough on himself. He does have the experience and the years put in to be able to work his way through this, but you're right, three games is a trend.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the break comes at a great time for him.
It does.
And he's not getting DFA'd, but he's got to turn this around because,
right,
well, you said on a day where Mankata gives you three hits, and they did compete and they did battle, but guess what? You're now four games back again.
Yep.
And, you know, it can't just be, well, rah, rah, we competed, we played hard, and we didn't give up. That's great, but that doesn't get you where you want
to
go.
The only reason why I brought that up is every other loss this year looked like we either gave up or didn't care.
Yeah.
Or we lost the game because we made mistakes.
Right.
It was actually a loss. It just looked different. It felt different. I can't explain it. I think that's the best I could do on that. And right, that's still
thing.
that's a step up. Unfortunately, that's how low we were swinging this year. And we've got Dylan on the mound today, and we still have a very solid chance of taking three or four from the Twins. And yesterday in the poll, a sweep would have been nice, but three or four ain't bad.
It ain't bad, but at some point, it's going to be mandatory that you get those sweeps because you've been four or five games under for 2 months now. And if you don't get today, and I think you have a good shot with Dylan Cease, obviously.
Right.
You know, you're
being two games up.
Now you're 4-4 on the road trip if you don't get today.
Right.
And that's pretty much
the 500 that we talked about last week that we were hoping we would avoid.
Well, you have to make hay here. I mean, and I get it's still July, but, you know, when you get down six runs because of your starter, that mentally just that hole is awful tough to dig out of.
It definitely is an issue. And if Lance had a better day, obviously that would have looked a lot different.
Yeah.
Yep. We have the Sox lineup. I'm going to give it to you real quick here. Still no Luis Robert, still no Jimenez, which is probably really not a surprise. Jimenez, you know, hurt leg issues continuing. You know, it just seems like he's going to be that guy. Luis Robert, we still don't have any clarification as to what exactly that is.
No, but all Tony said was tomorrow they're going to take a good look at him in Chicago. I don't know what that means. I mean,
that worries me right there, Brian,
right,
because when you say you have to wait, they're not in Paducah, Kentucky, or I'm picking on Paducah, but whatever town that doesn't have, I mean, there are doctors in Minnesota. Why do we have to wait till Chicago? Is a specialist needed?
Well, or they want their guys to take a look. But he said they'll take a good look. I mean, that is a little worrisome. It's not like,
that's my point. That's my point. It's like, you know, the initial examination wasn't enough. Do we need to see a specialist? What is going on here? All right, so today's lineup, Tim Anderson leading off.
You know, we need him healthy to throw in the Juan Soto deal. So
well, I don't think the Soto deal's happening today.
Okay.
Tim Anderson, shortstop, batting first. Yoan Moncada went 3-for-4 yesterday. Third base, batting second. Andrew Vaughn at first, batting third. Jose DHing cleanup. Kevin Sheets, he went 0-for yesterday. We got to get him back in hot. He's in right field. Josh Harrison at second base. Leori's in left field, batting seventh. Sebi Zavala behind the plate again, batting eighth. And Adam Engel in center field for the ailing Luis Robert.
You think Tony would veto throwing Leori in?
Oh, you know that's not going to happen. Bite your tongue, Brian Hanley. Bite your damn tongue.
No, Tony says we can't part with.
We can. No. He is our starter that's able to play every. Why hasn't he pitched?
He said he's special.
He can play everything, can he? He can do everything. He can play everything.
I would put him in the Sox package of shipping 12 players to Washington for once. So
I will. I will trade you Leury for Ian Happ. Straight up.
No thanks. We're good.
He can play every position at the same time. He's special.
Yeah, and he can't. No thanks. Good.
Yeah, it's Leury is he's still in my sights, but he has
he's in your penalty box.
He is, and it's not his fault. He had a lot of responsibility put on him, much more than he ever deserved. But he is now more of a a replacement player. Although we keep having these injuries and such, so we can't really keep him on the bench long enough. But I'm just glad that Josh is getting regular play because he's been a defensive stud at second base, and he certainly is bad as come around. So, you know, is he the big second baseman that everybody wants us to have on the south side? No, not at all. But he's better than Cesar Hernandez, which, by the way, will probably be traded at the trade deadline. That guy can't find a home.
Big
surprise.
You have a few holes to fill here. And you have a few guys, including now Lance Lynn, on the list of guys who have to find
a Can you find a starting pitcher at the deadline that's worthy of picking up? I mean, Cueto was that was a gamble that paid off.
I mean, every team needs more pitching. But
that's right. That's right.
White Sox
a lot of competition for pitching. Bullpen and starter.
But White Sox have more needs than that. It's all about offense and power right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know that they will be looking for a bullpen arm,
yeah,
a lefty especially, maybe even a starter because of Lance. If he, you know, coming back from the All-Star, that next start for Lance after the All-Star break is huge. And if he does not respond, they're going to have to target a solution, and we'll see. 312-332-3776. Let's hit break. We've got Josh Schrock coming up, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago. We'll get to him when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000. In the window on State Street, a gray day. Mid-July, got to start thinking about the Bears. Josh Schrock, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago, joins us here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Josh, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Josh, I got to tell you, I really enjoy reading all your stuff. I like the edge you write with. I like your sense of humor. And yesterday, it was, nothing but sunshine. What a nice, optimistic, best-case scenario piece. That there's a path to the playoffs for, I believe Vegas is still 6.5 wins over under with the under weighted on the bet, but you know I think that the number used to be 25% from the outhouse to the penthouse, 25% of the teams went from last to first. I don't know if that still holds up, but can you tell Bears Nation what how a best case scenario could end up in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot of emails and comments about it since I started about how the Bears could maybe, you know, make a Bengals type turnaround. So I thought, I don't think it's probable, but I thought I might as well write about it. And I mean, with the soft schedule, it's you know, look, there's six winnable games. You got, I mean, the Giants, Texans, and Falcons are all on the bottom floor of a rebuild. You got to win those games, take care of the Lions twice, knock off the Jets. That's six. You get to nine. I mean, kind of maybe back into a win against San Francisco in week one. You know, maybe the Dolphins are bad when they come. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater's a starter. Maybe the Patriots take a step back. You know, there's some winnable games, and then maybe split with the Vikings, and you get to nine. So it's not unthinkable just because the schedule's so soft, but I think it's still pretty unrealistic.
Well, that's getting our hopes up, but I like it. I like what you're thinking. I mean, you know, when you have a Lewis Riddick calling for just the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen. Did he say we'll get no wins? I mean, how bad was he saying?
He said we're gonna be the worst team in the league, right?
Right.
Yeah, seems, I mean,
that
you
seems
know,
to
I mean,
be
that,
the consensus,
that, that,
right?
That'd be a tough watch. But honestly, in my opinion, if they are the worst team in football and get the number one overall pick, that's a pretty good way to jumpstart a rebuild, especially if Justin Fields shows he's good. Then you can, mm-hmm. you know, either and then you trade that pick, get a couple more picks, move back, get a blue chip wide receiver, and then you're off to the races. So it'd be a tough watch for 4 months, but that's not the worst case scenario. I think 6-11, like mediocrity is not where you want to be.
Well, and speaking of wide receivers, mm-hmm. I've seen some people speculating that this group could be better than a lot of us believe. Where do you stand on that? I mean, who's Justin Fields throwing to? Are they just guys? Are they not even NFL average, or are they someone going to surprise us?
Yeah, I mean, other than Darnell Mooney, it's a lot of question marks. I think Cole Kmet's going to be really important, just because he's probably their other most reliable option in this offense. Is really, really good for tight ends. I mean, we've seen George Kittle play really well. Robert Tonyan's had huge success in Green Bay in the system, so I think Cole Kmet's going to be big. And the Bears are just really banking on more opportunities, meaning more production from guys like Byron Pringle and Equanimeous St. Brown. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you can realistically expect out of those guys. I kind of like the N'Keal Harry trade just because he's a guy who does have talent and he's a really good blocker, and they need a big body. So if he can be, you know, 65% of what you wanted to get from Allen Robinson, you know, that can help. And they're going to need a lot from Bayless Jones, a lot of manufactured touches. But it's not a pretty looking group at the moment, that's for sure.
Josh, question that I have going into this season, because of, you know, you're talking about we could back into 9 victories. Lewis Riddick, you know, it's all over the place. We don't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. If we have a mediocre season, as you said, worst case scenario as far as the record goes, what would indicate that Justin has what we need as we build the team around him this year in a mediocre season? What do we need to see from him to say, okay, this year ain't good, but we can see that this is our guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing, the encouraging thing is the wide zone offense. It's very quarterback friendly. And if you look at some stats from last year, Justin actually played really well in his last 5 starts. He was, mm-hmm. you know, the 9th highest rated passer by PFF. He led the NFL as a passer outside the pocket, led the NFL in passer rating on designed rollouts. And that's what Luke Getsy's going to do. They're going to do a lot of play action, a lot of bootleg. It's going to be a lot of easy throws. And I think from Justin, what you want to see is quicker decision making. A lot of times last year, you know, he held onto the ball too long, just waiting for that kill shot because he's such a good deep ball thrower. Okay. And you just want to see quicker decisions, sharper decisions. And I think from the Bears' standpoint, a lot of the evaluation is going to come Monday through Friday, right? It's going to come in the film room in practice because they're aware the offensive line is shaky, the receiver group's not that great. So on Sundays, it might be tough to see that evaluation, but if you're seeing quicker decisions, a little more accurate passing, I think Justin can take a big step forward.
Okay, and I guess that's what I meant. From a fan's point of view, we could say, okay, you know, we could write this year off, but this looks good.
Yeah, no, correct. Yeah, I think for the Bears, if you just ignore whatever the record is, if Justin takes a big step forward and the team improves week to week under Matt Eberflus, and they don't mail it in, they buy into what he's saying, and the culture is strong, I think if the quarterback coach thing is rock solid come week 17 and they're 4-13, I think it's a win.
And that the stats you just rattled off, that was a terrific piece you wrote, because it did give a lot of encouragement when you saw the grades. And the only limitation was Matt Nagy and the play calling, mm-hmm. because I think there were only 19 rollouts or thrown.
19.
Yeah. I mean, and Luke Getsy hasn't done it before, but I would think he's got some brain cells working. And even from osmosis, he knows what it looks like from being up in Green Bay.
Yeah. You'd think that Luke Getsy probably watched some film of what Justin did really well at Ohio State and knows how to run that offense and is thinking, okay, well, this is what this guy's really good at. Why don't we just do this? Which is what Matt Nagy decided not to do. Like you said, 19 design rollouts for the NFL's best passer on design rollouts is a pretty damning stat.
So you don't buy into the, you just mentioned Ohio State, and we've heard this, mm-hmm. right? No good quarterbacks come out of Ohio State. We're not buying into that, are we?
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
You've heard that, though. We've certainly have.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. I've heard it for Ohio State. I've heard it for, you know, Alabama. I don't think school dictates talent. I think that's just kind of an unlucky series of events. And I mean, from Ohio State's standpoint, they probably have had a lot of not NFL caliber quarterbacks in those in the offense. You know, 10 years ago, you mm-hmm. think about Troy Smith, guys like that. But Justin Fields is not that.
So we had the Bears were a very undisciplined team on the field last couple of years. You know, call a timeout. There's a motion penalty, you know, if someone jumps. I mean, and then guys slapping guys in the helmet and, you know, stupid stuff. But for a bad team, you don't have any kind of margin of error. And there you're out there just giving away yards and plays. And here's the other idea I've learned over the years. Scoring in the first half is something you put on the whiteboard and kind of let people know that's a good thing. But
yes.
The three arrests so far, and mm-hmm. you know, nothing earth-shattering, but – no. Matt Eberflus tells everyone before they leave, you know, make sure you have fun, stay healthy, and behave, basically.
Yep.
And
yep.
one of the guys is his guy, and one of the guys is Poles' guy from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Is this something, you know, you talk about culture, you mentioned it, and the Bears yep. always flaunt their culture, but it was supposed to be different, and so far that's not a real good trend, no matter if they were serious offenses or not.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree, and I'm interested to hear what Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles have to say when we talk to them in a week on report day, just because, you know, they weren't serious offenses, but they also weren't. I mean, they also weren't committed by players that are like. I mean, you could send a message, right? You could have
sure.
cut one of them and said, you know what, we're not going to do this. We mm-hmm. told you, like, you don't need yep. to be carrying, you know, a high capacity magazine with hollow points, or you don't need three handguns in a Taco Bell parking lot. Like, these are things you just don't need to be doing.
Right. You don't accidentally do stuff like that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And these are not, like I said, these are not, you know, your top, you know, one of your five best or 10 best players. So you're like, well, we don't have them. We're in big trouble. Like, you could just send a message and say, hey, we're just not going to tolerate this. We are actually building a culture. So I'm interested to see the explanation in a week on how they handle it.
And how about that whole soup thing? The way it went down on yeah. Friday, is that something that we just need to let go, or is there more to that? Do you have any idea of what that was about?
Can you explain the job title, Biz Mark?
Yeah,
and I,
yeah, it, that too.
It, yeah, what does that actually entail? Player engagement director.
Yeah, it's basically his job is to be the, you know, the liaison, the connection between the locker room and the front office, like to really know the guys. Understand how they tick, how they operate, and then help the front office and coaching staff put in systems and everything that will gel well with the team. I don't have any information on the Soup Campbell firing on why it went down, but I mean, I think it might be just as simple as saying, you know, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus got hired, and they gave probably everyone who was left over a time period, you know, like a trial run, and maybe they just didn't gel together, and that's very possible.
Okay, and it had nothing to do with what happened with the three
yeah.
arrests. No, there's no connection.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah. Well,
the offensive line, before we let you go,
yeah.
is that, do you have any idea what that looks like?
I don't. I think it's, I mean, that's the most interesting thing. The first day at camp, I'm going to be really interested to see what first team combination they trot out, if they were actually just messing around for the back half of OTAs with Braxton Jones and Tevin Jones returns to the right tackle and they move Larry Bourne back, or if Tevin Jenkins is just in the doghouse and then they're going to rely on a fifth-round pick at left tackle, which, you know, is probably not great for a young quarterback's development. So that's going to be – the offensive line is a wild situation at the moment.
It is. It is. Hopefully this time next year it will have a little more clarity and we'll move forward, and we look forward to seeing Justin develop. Whatever the record is, we're just happy that we're away from the Nagy and Ryan Pace. I almost said Poles. No, that's
yeah,
the wrong Ryan
that.
P.
Yeah.
Ryan Pace. We're just glad that that's in the rear view.
Yeah, it's always good to turn over a new leaf, fresh start for
yes,
everyone.
Yes, this is a big leaf.
All right,
sure.
Robert Quinn's on line two. I don't think he's showing up this year, but okay. we'll talk to him
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
keep up the great work, Josh.
Yeah, thank
really
you, Josh.
Really
yeah,
enjoy
Josh.
Your stuff.
Yeah, Josh, Bears Insider for NBC Sports Chicago. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander. We're back after this. We'll talk some more baseball. Taking your calls here on a Sunday morning, 312-332-3776. What would it take for us to land Mr. Soto on either the north side or the south side? Probably not the north side. What would it take? Let's talk about that when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Is it frustrating to you that this stuff comes out, that it's public, and that it's not just between you and the team?
It is. It feels really bad to see stuff going out like that. Because I'm a guy who keep everything on my side, keep everything quiet and try to keep it just them and me. But they just take the decision and do whatever they need to do. And they won't do any damage to my weekend. I'm going to try to enjoy as much as I can. You know, it feels a little uncomfortable at the beginning, but I would be fine. This is the team I've been since, 2015. I've been with this team, and I feel good with it. And when I get to know the city more, it feels great. Why should I need to change?
How hard has it been to see how it's now going through this stage and know that it could be a little while longer before the team's ready to win again?
It's pretty tough, you know. I even been talking with some of my teammates and been trying to get something from them because it's going to be weird. I get the taste of win, so I want to win every year. I don't want to keep losing. I hate losing, but it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, we just got to go through it because as they told me, that we all got to go through those moments to win a championship. So for me, I think I'm going through mine and I'm just going to keep positive and keep seeing things forward.
That is Juan Soto of the Nationals, the Walgreens Nationals. I keep seeing that on Twitter. And earlier this year, it's like that W reminds me of the Walgreens. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I thought that out loud, Brian, I'm seeing everybody, you know, saying that they're playing Walgreens. Right? Who had the W first? Couldn't they vary it a little? Did they not pay attention?
That needs to be their sponsor patch next year, right?
Yeah.
Walgreens?
Yeah, yeah. Walgreens.
I don't know, Walgreens got that kind of money anymore.
Staring at one. There are plenty of them. You can't really walk down the block without running into one.
No, they're always there for you. And speaking of Twitter, Mark, I loved some people having fun with, you know, if here's a Cubs package. Cubs get Juan Soto. Nats get Daniel Norris, Rowan Wick.
I saw that.
Madrigal, Simmons, Hermosillo, Jason Hayward, 69 Cup Snakes, Sammy Sosa's old boombox, which I do believe Kerry Wood smashed into 100 pieces. Ronnie Woo Woo's
Zach Sabin, glued together.
David Kaplan, Taylor McGregor, Jed Hoyer.
Oh, Cap's in the deal.
Yes, he is. Crane Kenny and the entire Ricketts family. And there are versions of this, too, right? There, Sox fans had their fun with it, too, about what you would throw in there and what you wouldn't, you know, what you're willing to part with, right?
Yeah, we'll open up the phone lines, 312-332-3776. What would you give up as a Sox fan or a Cubs fan? Not you personally. But what if you were Rick Hahn or Jed Hoyer, what would you give up? Or I don't know, maybe you are willing to put a personal stake on this and give away something get Juan Soto to.
Is it truly going to be a Herschel Walker type deal, as one unnamed baseball executive told some baseball writers that, and now you're talking about, you want to revisit that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 draft picks, 8 draft picks. 5 players. I mean, you know, what would move the mountain for Mike Rizzo? But and now if the entire baseball world knows that he's going to be traded.
Yeah.
Can Rizzo command that kind of, they lose some leverage with this game?
See, that's the thing. It is up to, whoever wants him, and they're going to set the new bar. Like what happened with Tatis Jr.,
mm-hmm.
In San Diego, which is not a major market. And here, I want to pose a couple questions here. And of course, we really don't know what's behind this. Although the $29 million yearly salary, when you do the math, 15 years, $440 million, that's low. However, you are locked up for that long, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. We've already heard that Juan Soto is frustrated that the team isn't close to winning. Right. They certainly aren't the Yankees. They certainly aren't the Dodgers.
And he had a taste of it younger, and so he knows what it feels like to win.
Right. So do you, even if they did pony up the money, would you want to be locked up with a team like the Nationals for that long? Well, let's take the yearly salary out of it.
He just said that he's only known the Nationals. He loves them. Now, he seemed sincere when he said that, right? That he loves the organization. He loves his teammates.
We think.
Yeah, I mean, but Scott Boras is driving this bus.
Right,
The 23-year-old.
He has no emotional connection to anything but money.
No, He has emotional connection to the highest bidder.
Yes.
So CBSSports.com had this list ready to go, and they handicap and lump in the 29 teams not named the Nationals and to how realistic they might be as players for Juan Soto. So the first tier is no pay, no play, and it's the likes of the Athletics, the Marlins, who don't seem to have any direction and have no issues, you know, with spending that kind of money. They have issues with spending that kind of money. But Tampa and Cleveland, we talked about yesterday that Cleveland's doing this with one of the bottom team payrolls, $69 million,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, they have money.
And so they said it, while you can argue that the contending Rays, Guardians, and Brewers would like should look into acquiring Soto for the stretch run, since flags fly forever, they'd have ample time to trade him and recoup prospects at a later date. We like that idea, but that kind of maneuvering almost never happens anymore, and we're skeptical that it'll start again with a deal of this magnitude. So they give you that scenario that you don't have to necessarily sign him. You just trade for him, try to win something this year, and then deal him away when
hope you can recoup
as much. And you had a World Series, if you believe that, you know, you're that close. So that's that group. The Pirates are in there too. Tier two rebuilders are us: Royals, Reds, Diamondbacks. Now Orioles, you know, you make an argument for them. Rockies and Tigers. And they say, while acknowledging that some of these six teams appear closer, meaning Baltimore, to rejoining the competitive ranks than the others, we don't think any of them are going to pose a serious threat to meet the Nationals' asking price. It would be cooler if they did, though. Now, here comes Tier 3. Something is missing. And something is missing includes my Chicago Cubs and your Chicago White Sox.
That's right.
Along with the Rangers, the Angels, the Twins, and the Padres. And, you know, as they said, it would be as fun or frustrating as it would be to see Soto in the lineup with the likes of Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and Manny.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
No.
But Mike Trout has to be begging them, find a way to get him here.
Yeah. And you know, then you talk about Machado and Tatis Jr.
That same thing. Same thing. Wow.
He said, we're putting a line through this group because we think they fall short in either the financial or the prospect component. Of all the tiers so far, this is the first we feel like a team from here could make an actual play or getting warmer, in other words. So they're not ruling out one of these teams stepping up and surprising the
baseball
world.
But you are ruling out the Cubs pretty much, right? Because you I don't think they have the talent.
I mean, even on the major league roster.
Not comparatively to other teams and what they could offer.
No, I mean, Pete Crow, Armstrong, and Morrell, and all these guys, I mean, it's terrific, but I don't think
everybody would have to go. Everybody would have to go.
So then you get down to the next tier, Braves, Phillies, and Mets. And they mentioned the Mets, you know, the owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen's thick wallet. But you're not trading within the division. So good luck on that, right? I mean, that's going to preclude. Mike Rizzo is not sending a 23-year-old superstar that he's going to have to live with in his ballpark how many times each year, right,
mm-hmm.
showing up.
Right, right.
So then you get to the Astros, Blue Jays, and Red Sox all have money and all have World Series aspirations. And then you get to the Mariners and the Giants. And here you go, your Yankees. You said they're the ones who are going to end
They're not
up
my Yankees, but they're the ones that I think are going to score.
Right. And then you have the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing that put a spike into my little
division heart.
The St. Louis Cardinals. They say the most likely team said, well, actually it says almost certain this prediction is going to age poorly, but we think the Cardinals have the clearest path of any team to acquiring Soto. We've talked about it how many times about St. Louis, the want-to, the farm mm-hmm. system.
Yep.
And they've Goldschmidt's contract comes off in 2024 when you'd have to start paying him the big money. And they make a case that they have prospects galore that they could throw in this deal. And that, you know, they would have the want to, the financial wherewithal with some of the bigger contracts coming off, and they have a plethora of prospects. If that happens, then, you know, Jed can spend intelligently all he wants. But as a Cubs fan, we're in trouble.
Big trouble. So where does he end up? And does he actually get traded by the trade deadline? Again, I brought up Jesse. Jesse thought that, man, chances are it's a winter meeting type of deal that might start get rolling, you know, during the season. But this might not happen during the season, but we'll see, because you made a good point, too. And by the way, he is in the lineup today.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of if you were managing the Nationals, yeah, they're not resting him. He's playing. He's playing. And we'll get back to more of this. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. We're talking about Juan Soto. Would he land in Chicago? What are the chances? And we already went down the list.
We have two Twitter poll questions.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to those.
Yeah. Will the Cubs make a serious bid for Juan Soto? Yes, no, or over Jason Hayward's dead body? And will the Sox make a serious bid for Juan Soto? Yes, no, or over Leury Garcia's dead body?
Ah, very well, very well. Okay, you snuck those in. I wasn't aware. Good. So we'll hit that. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Back in two here on ESPN 1000.